wins this week. So one of the things that we did is we got the yellow dot legislation passed. And so that is really important to us because we want to help ensure that the Hoosiers with disabilities, that when they are pulled over, the officers know right away who these folks are. They can be easily identified by that yellow dot on the back of their car. And that will be an important signal that there is some additional information in the glove box to be looked at. So we're really proud of that. And then as a former child who was in the foster care system, I'm also really proud of a bill that I got to help co-sponsor that we were able to get through the insurance committee this week, or in our financial committee this week, that will help our foster care youth be able to get a bank account and, you know, really make sure that they can be financially stable, as we know that there's so much instability for our foster care youth as they move through the system. And then Senator Yoder's LPN bill, you know, make sure that we are opening up pathways to licensure for our licensed practical nurses. And so making sure that those high school credits are counting, which is critically important. It's so good. I'm just so proud of the work of our mighty but small caucus, right? And then the cancer trials, you know, just opening it up to make sure that we've got some funding pathways for folks who are going through those really, really challenging times. But I'm wondering what's top of mind for you all. So questions, I will let you ask a question, but you do always get to go first. So somebody new.
What do you think about the lieutenant governor? What do you think about the lieutenant governor asking to double his budget while at the same time wanting to cut taxes and rein in government spending?
Well, I think that part of what we need to focus on is the fact that the lieutenant governor doesn't have a budget and that it's inappropriate for the lieutenant governor to have an ask, first of all. And so that is really unorthodox that he would be coming in to have that type of budget request. But then to ask to double funding and for a faith-based programming is concerning. And when we're asking Hoosiers to cut taxes, when we're asking Hoosiers to make really, really critical cuts to healthcare, when we're asking Hoosiers to make critical cuts to public education, when we're asking Hoosiers to make all sorts of sacrifices, he wants to increase faith-based programs. When we don't have all of the things that we need around mental health care supports, when we don't have all of the supports that we need for everyday working class Hoosiers, he's really looking at superfluous additions to the budget. And so that's not something that we need to be doing.
There was a big old property tax rally on the third floor over there in the hallway on Monday with folks calling out individual lawmakers, saying they're going to primary them if property tax relief isn't to those folks' liking. Do you think your Republican colleagues will be influenced by that rally?
It's really interesting, the property tax debate that's going on right now, and it has caused a lot of infighting within the Republican Party, within the supermajority. And here's the thing, is that for two decades, the Republicans have been here with control of the State House, and for two decades, they have had the opportunity to fix this issue. And for two decades, they have had the ability to have this control, and they have been messing it up. They've been the ones who have had the ability to work together, to collaborate, to talk to their constituents, and they have not been listening. They have not been collaborating. They have not been working together. They've been not been taking the common sense ideas that those of us in the minority party have been offering to actually provide common sense, true relief, like those that were offered by our caucus, like those that we actually tried to provide, like freezing property taxes for folks over 65, right? Like offering property tax relief to renters, right? None of that is in Senate Bill 1. And so what we've got in the current version, we know is only offering, what, $48 of relief, $4 a month. That's not real relief. I would be upset too. I would be upset too. It's no wonder Hoosiers are upset, because the supermajority is not working for them. And so we'll see what happens. But right now, as it stands, no one is happy, and they shouldn't be.
There's been a lot of students that have shown up this session to, you know, advocate for a variety of causes. As an educator, I'm wondering, you know, what you think of their presence here and how you think, they've been treated by your colleagues. I mean, there have been a few questions of, like, how did you guys find out about this to, you know, show up to these things? And I'm just wondering what your thoughts on that.
today I got to start my day looking at the face of young people, and it felt so warm and familiar to me. You know, for 20 years as a teacher and as a school principal, I got to start my day looking at the face of children. And I think that we would legislate so differently if that's the way that everybody in this building started their days. And so it was beautiful. And you're right. Earlier this week, I was listening to testimony and I heard someone ask a student, you know, how did you find out about this? Actually, it was last week. And how did you find out about this bill? And they said, well, on social media from one of my friends. Right? The children are watching. They are paying attention. And so this rhetoric that's saying that teachers are influencing children, that teachers are, you know, turning children's minds one way or another. Teachers can't even get kids to remember to bring their pencils to class. Okay, they're not getting kids to, you know, believe one thing or another about legislation that's happening. We wish that we could get them to, you know, remember information that deeply and that intently. But in order to get them this involved and this engaged in something, they have to be the ones to have that intrinsic motivation. They have to be the ones that are deeply engaged. They have to be the ones that want to have their own questions answered. So they're going out and seeking the information. They're talking to their friends. They're chatting about it at lunch. They're chatting about it on their way to basketball practice. They're chatting about it as they're walking around the track during PE. And I think that that is what is so powerful. They are asking about our PAGE program. Our PAGE program has days that are all booked up weeks and weeks out in advance. That's incredible, right? We want for our youth to see what's happening in these hallways. Today, we had IPS Day at the State House. That's their first time ever having a day at the State House. We had students from many of our local high schools coming in, and they're just walking the hallways and seeing what it feels like to be in their State House, stopping legislators in the hallway to just say hello and introduce themselves. It is powerful for them to know that their voice matters and to remind themselves that we work for them, and to remind us that we work for them.
You got about 6 weeks left to go and some change. What's going to be the Democrats' strategy for the next 6 weeks?
Our strategy for the next 6 weeks is the same strategy that we came in with. It's to focus on the real issues that working class Hoosiers care about. It's to focus on housing, focus on healthcare, and to focus on education. It's to not let this ridiculous rhetoric, these red meat bills, this performative stuff that honestly, the State House Republicans have been focusing on get in the way. We will not have mission drift. We are absolutely focused on making sure that our constituents, that the working class Hoosiers, that our middle class families, that the folks who elected us to get here and do the work for Hoosiers, to make sure that their taxpayer dollars are working for them every single day, are getting bang for their buck. We are working for them. So we are going to stay focused on our mission. That's the plan.
What do you think about the State Department of Natural Resources changing its policies to not allow people to use pronouns in their email signatures, and the Braun's office saying that he agreed with that policy?
You know, I think that any of these, you know, executive orders or decisions that are, you know, against inclusive practices are really scare tactics right now. I think that they're, you know, performative to silence people. And I think that they're a way to, I think that they're just a way to signal to folks that they're complying with what has now come down from on high, whether that's the state level on high or whether that's federal level on high. But what I do know is that whether people delete their pronouns out of their emails, or whether they stop putting them on their name tag, or whether they stop putting it on their Zoom byline, that folks will find a way to be seen. And my hope is that employers will find a way to ensure that people still feel seen, that people still find a way to be included, that employers are finding a way to ensure that their employees are still finding a way to know that they belong, because that's what it's about. It's about creating environments that have a sense of belonging. We are Hoosiers. We do Hoosier hospitality, right? And that's what's important, is that we are making sure we're creating inclusive work environments where there's a sense of belonging. And so it's not just about a byline. It is about making sure that people know that they are welcome and making sure that they can show up to work as their whole self. And so whatever that means in a workplace, I implore all bosses and supervisors to make sure that they are finding a way to get that messaging across.
There's a new state Democratic Party chair. What are you looking for in the potential new era for the party, and how do you think the party should go about trying to make more inroads here at the State House?
I think that, you know, we're always excited when there's a change in leadership. I think that it's a new opportunity for us to get ready for the future. And I think that it's a new opportunity for collaboration. It's a new opportunity for innovation. And so, you know, I'll be interested to see what that will look like and what the future will hold. We haven't had the opportunity to connect yet. Obviously, that'll happen after session. You know, we're busy on all of the work that happens when we're building a budget right now. But I look forward for that opportunity. Mm-hmm.
And she's a former member of your caucus.
Absolutely. And one of Senator Pohl's favorite mentors. So you'll definitely have to ask Senator Pohl all about that, for
what
sure.
What do you think about, you started off by talking about Governor Braun being in D.C. Did you want to say anything about what your thoughts are about him being there in the Federal Department of Education and how that could affect Indiana?
I think, you know, one of the things, I think that if there was a theme for the past, it feels like 6 months, but it's been, 7 or 8 weeks since January began. I think that if there was a theme, it would be performance. I think so much of this is performance. And so this signing of an executive order to dismantle the Department of Education is a big performance. And people need to know, I want families to know that, you know, with Governor Braun standing next to the president to sign an executive order, that it's not going to harm right now what happens in our school buildings. Teachers are going to continue to teach, that principals are going to continue to do their work, that superintendents are going to figure out their budgets, and that we have work to do here to ensure that we're holding our governor accountable to make sure that education is fully funded, to make sure that our teachers have high quality resources, and to make sure that we stand up as Hoosiers and say that we have to protect public education. Because if they're not going to do it out in D.C., then it is more incumbent upon us now than ever to stand up as Hoosiers, band together, be united, and make sure that we protect public education ourselves.